It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
O'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley hosting with me for the next couple of days still. Cody back on Thursday.
He's dancing.
Dance dad duties.
By the way, he's doing very well, is what we heard.
I think the dance stuff may have wrapped up this past weekend. I'm not sure.
He didn't go to see Jack hit the home runs, and he was in Dallas.
He was right there. He was right there in Arlington.
What's the commitment level?
Was right there. Could have seen Caglione's first two home runs, and he wasn't there. We'll have to give him a hard time about that for sure.
Right there.
When he gets back on the show coming up on Thursday. We'll talk more about the NBA Finals and the Thunder, including also what I think took away, at least during the day, from Game 7. In a bit, it was funny, Drew had pointed it out to me during the break, too, and I just saw it come across my timeline as well, that the Thunder, very young team, right? Very young basketball team. That's why they're going to be around for a while. And Alex Caruso is the vet on that team, and now he's a two-time champ. And there's video. The young players are asking Alex Caruso, like, hey, how do we pop this champagne? Like, they didn't know how to pop the champagne. Which is pretty funny to watch.
And Chet Holmgren can't pronounce Michelob Ultra correctly.
I mean, he can't pronounce Michelob Ultra.
I'm going to have to roll it in. He said it, no stutter, full confidence, Michelob Ultra. As if it's like
Michelin tire.
Yes, that's what he pronounced.
Michelob.
Michelob Ultra. I can't even pronounce it. I stutter saying it. Michelob Ultra. And he said it. Mid sentence, didn't stumble at all.
Michelou. We drank beer Friday, by the way.
Did you guys?
Drew drank Kool Aid.
What?
I had a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Oh, that's his favorite. That really is Drew's favorite. If we're being honest,
it shouldn't be allowed.
I thought you guys were going to do the Mountain Dew. Maybe we'll have to save it for this. Wow, this Friday we've got our. I'll be honest. Full disclosure: we have our football planning show. Every show's doing it at some point this summer. So Friday, we actually will, Drew and I and Cody will not be on the show Friday. We're planning for football season, so we can have a great football season and put together some great shows this fall for everybody. So that is Friday. So I was going to say we should do the Mountain Dew seltzers Friday, but we won't be here.
Do you want to try them?
All right, let's talk about the Chiefs, though. I was not here when Andy Reid spoke on the final day of mandatory minicamp, and he was talking about who's going to be ready or not for day one of training camp in St. Joe. You and I have gone back and forth about Josh Simmons and availability quite a bit already. Here's what Andy had to say about Rashee Rice and Josh Simmons' availability.
They're both ready to go. Yeah, they actually got great work in these camps here. So,
what about Jared Wiley?
I think we're going to be okay there. He got some work here the last couple days, so I think we'll be fine there.
So I heard that, and I said, well,
Kilgore's not here, by the way.
Yeah. So I heard that, and I said, oh, this is great news. This is great. If that actually happens, then I would have to bump the likelihood of Josh Simmons being the starting left tackle week one in Brazil against the Chargers to like 75%. Because it's not the ability question with Simmons. It is the health in allowing him to get the work needed at camp to be ready for week one, and then you figure out what you want to do with Jalen Moore. It's a nice backup option if necessary. The reason why it would still only be 75%, because I think there would still be a chance they would start the veteran and ease in Josh Simmons. But that is with me 100% believing and trusting that what Andy said there is going to happen. I hope it is, because as a Chiefs fan, you should hope that the number one pick for you guys in round one is actually available at training camp. But we all know the timeline that people thought outside of the organization prior to the draft was not going to be by training camp. So this would be amazing news. I'm still skeptical. I'll be honest. I got to see it, and I'll gladly be wrong on this, but I'm still skeptical. First show up there in St. Joe, July 22nd, July 21st, whenever we're going to do our first show, is he getting the full work that everybody else is? And if he is, that's awesome. But I don't know, you know, I don't think you can just 100% say, oh, well, he said it, so it's just for sure going to happen, because we've gone through this before where time passes a month and all of a sudden, well, yeah, you know, this is new for him. You know, this is new for him. We just want to give him another day. And next thing you know, it's a week. So I'll believe that one when I see it.
I'll believe it when I see it too, but Andy did expand on that.
Okay.
Your thing there. What to expect from Simmons? This is what he said.
Listen, you can see his athletic ability. You can see his want to. He's got a great attitude. He's approached everything the right way, plus a little bit extra. You could tell if you just want to look at his rehab, you can see that he had a mindset that I'm get in there. It's not going to be training camp. So it's going to be like now. And he worked his tail off to get there, so you respect that part of it. He's done a nice job in there. He's worked well, and we'll just see. We'll see, you know, what training camp does to him. It's different when things are flying fast up there, and you've got full contact and pads on, and see how he does.
So there's the caveat at the end. We'll see what happens when you put the pads on. Done a nice job so far. Well, they've just been in shorts.
Yeah,
and
no
stuff
pads. It's hard. Offensive lineman, defensive line. It's tough to judge anything until they have, but
they did go ahead and get Jalen Moore really quickly in the offseason.
Yeah, well, Jalen Moore, just in case they weren't going to be able to draft the guy
they really liked him.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad they did that, by the way. Even if Jalen Moore ends up not starting a single game this season, I still have no problem with the signing because you had to protect yourself.
No question. Drew asked me, is there a situation where Jalen could play a different position? Listen, he's a right tackle and left tackle, but his history is
swing tackle,
athletic because he was recruited as a tight end. He went to Western Michigan as a tight end. Then they moved him over to defensive end before he got switched back to the offensive line. So he's shown the ability to play.
Are you telling me we're about to get a formation at some point this year where Jalen Moore comes in,
he's got
eligible receiver, and Jalen Moore's catching a touchdown in week 7?
Talk to Sky Moore. That was his teammate. No, but I think that you look back at it and you think, okay, well, he does have versatility. That's not definitely what you want. But I think there was some wait and see. Wait and see until you put the pads on full speed. I mean, again, that's not definitive. There's things you can walk back on that.
Yeah, and that's fine. I that's all I'm saying. Like, I don't think you should be excited when you hear him say that, oh yeah, he'll be good to
That'd
go.
That'd be the ultimate. That'd be the ultimate draft
coup. It would be awesome. It would be flat out awesome that your top pick, considering the injury he suffered at Ohio State, if he truly would be able to be out there with everybody doing exactly what everybody else is doing on the O-line day one, that would be awesome. I truly just want to see it.
But
that's
they do
all.
Take it slowly with it, because don't forget it was Wanya Morris that was the starting left tackle pretty much through OTAs and even some in training camp. But then when you get to the games, it was Kingsley, right? So it was Wanya at first. You kind of, you know, you have a rookie and you groom him. You let him, you know, get acclimated to the NFL game like they did Kingsley. Then boom, they switch him to the starting left tackle. Now, they did it right away with Trey Smith and guys like that, but again, that's playing guard instead of tackle.
I still think it's totally different, though, those two situations where it's tackle, but Kingsley was picked in the second round. Wanya was picked in the third or fourth round. Josh Simmons, if he was healthy, was going to be a top 10 pick. That's what everybody says.
But he was dangerously close to being a second rounder.
I know, but it's because of the injury, where if he's healthy, we know the talent's there, where if you say he is in pads, in helmet, with the ones, playing day one, week one of training camp, he is out there with team drills. There is no reason to not think, in my opinion, that he won't be the starting left tackle. If he's good to go and he's doing all the team drills and everything,
I tend to agree.
There's no reason to think that he shouldn't be the starting left tackle in week one, even as a rookie.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I think if he gets a slow start to camp and he's not a full go, then it makes all the sense in the world that Jalen Moore starting week one. Because at that point, you would say, he didn't have enough time to ramp up.
And you would build the chemistry with the guard-tackle combination.
And also, some of this is, too, on Jalen Moore. We're talking about from just, like, the Josh Simmons angle. But also, Jalen Moore, you got to show something at camp, too. Give them a reason to still think you got to be the guy to start.
He's got
one.
A lot of reasons to be good. A lot of financial reasons in the league. to be good. Just being a backup doesn't help Jalen Moore because that's career what he is. But if Jalen Moore goes out there and balls, guess what?
He's got a big payday coming somewhere else.
He's got
a
big payday coming up somewhere else. Most likely. That's one thing I like about Veach, especially like when he brought in Hollywood Brown too. Because last year was going to be a prove-it year, and then he was going to go ahead and get it. But obviously the injury changed things. But getting guys to come in, kind of bet on themselves, like he does really good at finding guys that have a reason of why to be good. Part of the reason he's been good every single year, because you get these guys, you bring them in, then they can set their own market.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll talk more Chiefs football, Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk about one of the major problems with the offense last year, and Warren Sharp kind of highlighted that a little bit. And we'll have fun with something that everybody ends up finding by the time we get to training camp. You guys know what I'm talking about. We'll get to that during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll also have a trash of the day here in about 9 minutes. This one's a doozy. This one's a good one. Trash of the day. We had one, and then we switched last minute. Yeah. We found a different one during pre-show. But I want to talk NBA briefly. We already talked about the Thunder getting their first ever championship, and now 7 years, seven different champs in the NBA. And you know, that's really the only league that you can really probably see that in these days, it feels like, just based off the nature of the sport. But Kevin Durant earlier in the day reportedly got traded to the Houston Rockets. Not official yet. It's all that. I cannot believe, first of all, that the NBA allows that to even happen, get far enough in the process to be reported on the day the NBA Finals is going to a game seven like that. You notice the NFL on Super Bowl Sunday. It's known. There are no transactions reported or not, anything like that from an organizational perspective, because they want that to be the main thing. Up until tip off, the main story yesterday was not the Thunder and Pacers. It was not. It was Kevin Durant going to the Rockets, a team that was the number two seed in the West prior to the game. That was the story.
That was the story. It's not a good look for the league that he finds out from fans, if that was true. Unless he specifically said, hey, Kevin, got to tell you, you're going to Houston.
Luka didn't find out until...
Well, like, I get that.
I don't think
he was... But Kevin Durant is a world champion. Talking about, though. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, gold medalist, 37 years old. He deserves more to be taught than told by fans in an event. That's why I'm having a hard time
context. Yeah, just to give people listening context to what you're referencing. Fanatics Fest going on in New York. Kevin Durant was on stage, his boardroom podcast deal or whatever, and he was... They're being interviewed, talking about whatever, and all of a sudden, the crowd starts, like, you know, you can tell, murmurs, and people are shouting, hey, you're going to the Rockets! And anyway, here's what it sounded like.
You're headed to Houston. How does that sound?
We're going to see, man.
We'll see what happens, but I am excited. Great young core, great coach. I think we can be a great fit there. A lot going on right now.
This all happened live. Now, he knew he was clearly going to get traded at some point, Bink. He's the one also that wanted out. He claims Suns fans wanted him out too, but whatever. Like,
it's mutual, more. Yeah.
But he knew he was getting traded, and he had to have known the Rockets were a real viable destination considering what
shock. Yep.
No. Now, did he think it was going to happen in that exact moment? No, I actually don't think that was set up. I don't think the agent or the GM of the Rockets or whoever leaks it out to, I think it was it Shams that had the first report on it?
Yes, I think so.
I don't think that they like, oh, let's do it right when he's on stage. I don't buy that.
It was perfect for Fanatics.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Ruben and Fanatics loved it. Perfect. Yeah, they absolutely loved it. There's already a Topps Now card of that moment that
funny
you can
how
buy.
That works out.
I mean, it's crazy. Yeah.
Jeez. It is funny, too. So they all started their careers, Russ, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, with the Thunder. All of them have now or will have played with the Houston Rockets
really?
As well. Yes.
I did not know that. That's true, though.
Town, yeah. Gold. That's your town, H-Town.
I was there for about 2 years.
I don't
years.
Think Gold claims Houston.
I wasn't a huge fan.
The
honestly.
Gold standard.
I wasn't a huge fan of Houston, honestly.
What is the Gold standard?
Did you go to show many, I was did you on. Go to many Rockets games?
You know what? So this was the Rockets stunk while I was there too. You got to understand
this is before getting Harden and Russ. Or
No. After, I mean, this was towards the
end. Oh, this is post.
Yeah, this
okay.
is like I think Harden was. This was at the end of Harden's run. There.
Okay,
he was still going to all the strip clubs in Houston at that point in time, mm-hmm. instead of out wherever Philly or whatever. But Houston. I honestly, the one thing I regret is I only went to two Rockets games while I was there. But they stunk, and also to Bink's point, the show I was doing at the time was 9 p.m. to midnight.
It's
so
a
like,
night show.
Yeah,
was,
so that standard. Also was tough.
So that was the issue. But no, I wasn't huge. Anyway, nobody cares about my Houston thoughts. But yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of the city. But long story short, going back to what you were saying, yeah, I mean, the Rockets, it's a huge trade for them, and it's going to set up them very, very nice, set them up very nicely going forward. I was just stunned that the how can you as a league let that happen the day of your biggest game of the year?
I think it's because with the NFL, it's a full day prep, everything with it. The coverage didn't begin until your typical half hour before or like hour before anyways, where I think it broke early enough. It got people talking about the NBA, where I don't think the league would have been disappointed as much. Where like you brought up the NFL, because we have Super Bowl coverage from one or noon until.
And you also
kickoff.
Have a whole week. You have the whole week buildup. But but the day of the game, there's no way. Like Tom Brady did something the week of, right, when he announced that he was officially retired. I think wasn't it that not obviously they played the Bucks, but then after that, the next year, whatever. When he eventually hung it up, and I think the Chiefs were getting ready for the Super Bowl, if I have my timeline correct, I believe Brady did some sort of announcement during Super Bowl week, not the day of the game, but Super Bowl week.
Well, you remember the Alex Smith deal that was during Super Bowl week in Minnesota.
Right.
It was
That's
up during. But do you think players earn a little bit more respect than that? I don't like the way things are done. I always like. I don't like when players have to find out through social media or fans.
I think that's clearly
disrespectful.
I agree.
I think there's some merit to that, but I also think it's different when Kevin Durant was giving them team. His agent
Go
was essentially
trade,
giving them names of teams to trade to. We don't owe you anything, man. You want out, you're giving teams to name. We're going to trade you when we trade you, and you're going to get what you'd like.
He's earned more respect than that, though.
He hasn't won a title in 7 years, Bink.
He's won world championships. He's won gold medals. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. I think that qualifies as earning respect.
He had to go team up with Steph Curry to win a title. Let's keep it real, Bink.
Drew, this is spoken like a guy that's never had a team win anything.
No, I'm being totally honest. He had to go team up with Steph Curry to win a title.
Yeah,
point blank and period.
Ring chasing, that's the big knock.
It wasn't like he didn't contribute. It wasn't like he just completely gravy trained. It's not like
he's a bad player, but I'm saying that when you have bounced around 3 to 4 times, nobody owes you anything after you've also been giving team names, hey, trade me here, please. They don't owe you a single thing.
It's not even about his decision. It's not even about his decision to go to the Golden State Warriors back in the day. It's just
he knew
he was going to get traded, and he knew the Rockets were a very likely destination for him. So to me, that's all.
He didn't really have a shot face on
this. This wasn't the Luka trade where you wake up in the morning and you're traded out of and blindsided. That's, Kevin Durant wasn't blindsided.
Was insane too.
Yeah. The Luka trade.
Call him a player instead of respect. You call him and say,
I agree, but he already knew.
It wasn't finalized.
No, but the heads up is if you don't expect to get traded, that his agent and it clearly had told him, hey man, this Rockets thing's coming together. You're probably going to get traded. We don't, you know, it could happen here soon. I guarantee you.
I just don't think that's the best way to find out. From
I don't think Kevin Durant cares. I think he was smiling afterwards after the news broke. He was probably happy.
He probably knew.
Oh, he's out of Phoenix. I mean, you know, play Bradley Beal and that whole group out there. My goodness. Devin Booker, though, with Jalen. I don't know. The other thing is, what do the Suns do now? Do they stick with Jalen Green and have him
and Booker?
I like Jalen Green.
They should try to trade Bradley Beal, but his contract is so bad, I don't think anybody's going to take
Bradley
that
Beal,
on.
What a disaster. I mean, what a disaster of a career.
The thing that's crazy, too, the Suns missed the playoffs, and they were fully healthy with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. They were fully healthy.
Then their coach get fired?
Yes, Budenholzer got fired. I mean, that also didn't work out.
We get fired to go to the championship now. Thibodeau.
Yeah. It has happened. All right, guys, let's get to it. The trash of the day. We had a different one. We pivoted to this. It also is funny to me because of when I was gone on Thursday, and we all were gone, I guess, on Thursday, I wasn't planning on having a dentist appointment, but I called to schedule one, and they're like, hey, what about 3 o'clock this afternoon? I'm like, oh, sure. I was just trying to schedule one for like weeks down the road or whatever.
Cavities?
No, I just it was just time for a cleaning or whatever, you know, once or twice a year. So everything's good, Bink.
Okay.
No cavities
White
or anything.
Questions. I always have
questions. But I went to the dentist, but I was calling to schedule an appointment and I wasn't planning on going that afternoon. Long story short, they could get me in. So I was like, oh, perfect. Anyway, so this trash of the day has to do with a dentist in the Czech Republic. So a 22-year-old had 2 assistants and was running a dentist's office out of their home. to a 22-year-old. Turns out he was a fake dentist.
Shocker!
He's been charged by Czech police after treating dozens of patients using instructions he found on the internet. So, according to the story, the 22-year-old man had extracted teeth, performed complex root canals, applied anesthesia, and all the information he got was obtained online. He's pled guilty to a number of charges, faces up to 8 years in prison. Police did not say whether any of the patients had complained about their treatment. There was a 50-year-old woman worked as a nurse, while a 44-year-old man produced prosthetic devices for patients. The illegal clinic treated dozens of patients and made more than $185,000.
Yeah, the anesthesia part of it. Who did they find to do that?
Well, yeah.
Because that's the kicker there.
Yeah. All three were arrested earlier this month before being charged this week with operating an illegal business, money laundering, attempted assault, drug dealing, and theft. The president of the Czech Dental Chamber said that he had an average of 10 fake dentist cases reported a year in the country. And I don't know how this happens this long. The fact that this guy was out there doing root canals just off of watching YouTube videos, basically.
22 years old. No dental school, just, hey.
Yeah. I mean.
You'd question somebody being 22. Where'd you go to dental school? Didn't take any time?
Man. It's one thing if you're just even the teeth cleaning part, but you're out here doing
root canals.
You're
anesthesia. That's the kicker there, man. I mean,
anesthetic.
You had to learn that on the internet.
Yeah, I don't think they were knocking them out. I think it was more like local anesthetic, sure. Right? Still, same thing. But they were not knocking them out. My guess is it was like injecting in the gums to numb the gum they did a root canal.
It's pretty advanced.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he dealing with insurance companies or people just paying cash?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how he got caught ultimately.
His whole business is about insurance.
Yeah, but I don't know if this was a cash-only dentist office. Again, this is in the Czech Republic.
Oh, we only take cash, by the way.
I have no clue. Yeah, if it's
or Venmo,
no insurance or what. Did he get caught because a patient complained or did he get caught because of the insurance? I don't know. I doubt he was submitting it through insurance. That seems like a sure way for him to have gotten caught.
He might have been good. These people might have kept coming back to
22
him.
Years old, the fact that he treated dozens?
He probably didn't admit to being 22, right? He probably told him, I'm 26, I'm 27. Well,
by the way,
185K he got.
He had a 40-year-old assistant. So you have people that know way better. Like, I don't know.
But it's out of his house, man. You only hear of like hairdressers doing that.
That also is kind of sketchy. It's not like he had his own practice.
I don't know what it's like in the Czech Republic typically, but
hey,
yes,
Mom, get out of the living room. I have a client.
There's no way I'm going to a dentist's office if it's in like just somebody's house. There's no chance.
Where's your office? Oh, it's in my neighborhood.
No. You don't say that. They just give you the address, and you realize it as you're showing up.
And in my GPS, I pull up somebody's house and go, "Hey, something's wrong here, man. This isn't it."
There's some houses that have businesses in them, and they look like a house, but they are a business,
like hairdressers.
Sure, that happens. Yeah. But that's a little bit different than a dentist.
Yes,
totally.
Especially administrating.
You do for a dentist? Are you going to go to someone's house now, Bink?
I'm not due for one. It will be here in a couple months.
Is this for like, I wonder if it's for like if you have insurance. Is he like, evidently, I would assume you have to get approved to have a practice where like you accept insurance.
He clearly didn't have a dentist.
Exactly. So I don't think.
Did he at least give out like free toothbrushes at the end or anything? Or travel toothpaste?
You don't have to show your insurance. Maybe it's cheaper. I mean, all these other things maybe led to people actually going to this individual.
$185,000 though. More dozens of patients. So let's say he treated. Let's just go ahead and say he treated like 80 patients. Let's just stick with that.
$10K.
I mean, he's making some serious coin.
You're still on the internet, man. What do you go to YouTube and say, how to be a dentist?
You can go on YouTube and watch root canals on YouTube.
There are a lot of things that you can learn from YouTube, but I think doctor or a dentist, you got to have some schooling.
Or you can stay at Holiday Inn Express the night before, you know?
What does that have to do with it?
You guys never seen those commercials? Come on, man. I stayed in the Holiday Inn Express last night.
Right.
It makes you smarter or whatever. It's a joke.
Okay.
Certain age groups don't get that one.
No, I know but I didn't know that. What that do with the dentist office?
Certain age groups don't get that. Go look on YouTube for old Holiday Inn Express.
No, I remember the commercials. I just didn't. I didn't know where you were going with it.
I wasn't going anywhere. I was
stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. Holiday Inn Express last
dentist,
night.
But I stayed at Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah, I remember
last night.
This.
Yeah, I didn't remember the dentist part.
And so I'm a dentist.
Someone says go to someone's house for a colonoscopy. Bink.
I watch football clips on YouTube.
I bet you learn a lot about football.
I think a lot of people do. As soon as the Chiefs have a draft, everybody hits YouTube and looks at the prospects.
I know it is for you. I know it definitely is for you. All right, guys, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk more about one of the major flaws with last year's team and what they can actually fix. Plus, let's all call our shot. Everybody's going to claim one by the time.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
We get to camp.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. We'll get back to the Royals here in a half hour or so. We'll talk about that 4-2 road trip. Look ahead to this big week with the Rays and the Dodgers. Of course, they are off today. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Alex Gold, Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon with you here on a Monday. Hope you guys are having a good start to your week. Another brutally hot day in Kansas City. So,
welcome to summer.
Yes.
It should be like this. It's summer.
I know, but I not to get into a whole conversation. I know we go. I still think, man, in the wintertime, I can add layers and layers and layers and layers.
I love winter.
In the summertime, especially if you're somebody that works outside, there's only so much you can do to stay cool, man.
You spent time at the pool?
Brutal. I did. I went to the pool on Friday and yesterday.
You love the pool, and you bring your drinks down there. And
I usually do. Yeah,
good time.
Had a couple a little Sunday afternoon drinking. It was kind of nice.
You had Drew
over. Stay in the water. I haven't had Drew over. No.
You have a pool,
Drew's
Drew?
Probably got a pool at his own complex, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I was
there as well.
Can I come?
Oh, no, man.
I mean, you
that
can.
That would be great.
I pee in pools, but can I come? I do.
Okay, Bink.
I will say this. We go, like, right when it opens, before all the people get there.
Well, you don't like when other people are there? You don't like to talk to other people?
No. It's fine, but I normally go there to relax and not...
Oh, it's definitely relaxed. You know, it's definitely relaxed.
Like if there's
bring
people
a cooler
there,
and
mind,
good to go.
There's people there. I don't mind going, but you know, I don't.
So ours is two pools, and so you just don't want to.
Two pools is nice.
You don't want there's one pool. Sometimes there's more kids, so you go to the other one. You know, little kids all over the place. That one you're not going to chill as much. But it's been so hot that you got to be in the, in the pool or whatever. So did that. Turns out one of Carrington's good friends. I didn't know this whole time.
Really?
Lives at my complex, and Carrington's been there. Didn't know I lived there.
There's no telling what kind of conversations you have at pools.
I remember
when I first got out of school and I was at an apartment pool. I would drink beer with this dude and talking football and everything, but nothing ever came up. Then finally, about a month later, we started talking about where we went to high school. And we were rivals, and we actually got in a fight together. Like we didn't know that because I didn't know what his name was or anything, but we were actually in a brawl. That constituted my coach making us all not shake their hand after the game. So we'd actually fought each other. But here we were drinking beer together, you know, hanging out, being dudes. But we had gotten a huge fight about 4 years earlier. Can't tell what they look like with the helmet on.
Hey, Binkley. Chafing.
The moment of silence.
Chafing, I didn't go punch him when we got along. I gave him a beer, man. I didn't go punch him. I wanted to, but
Shea Binkley. Actually, you should, Drew, invite him to your pool, and I'll show up as well just to see how you handle.
Careful,
that.
Binkley pees in the pool. Of course, I
yeah,
do.
Don't do that, Binkley.
No, but 90% of people do. They just won't admit it. I admit it. Not in the 10% that
not the apartment. Not in the apartment.
Not in your apartment
pool. There's a bathroom right there.
But why get out?
This is not the lake.
In the ocean.
But why get out? It's a pain. It's a pain
at
to
the
get
lake.
Out.
At the lake, for sure, you have to. Otherwise,
why
you're
get out
on
the pool? It takes forever. You get out. You get your towel on. Go to the bathroom. Then you slip on the tile floor. It's a pain in the butt. Just pee in the pool.
All right, let's talk some Chiefs football.
Absolutely.
So one of the offensive problems last year, despite winning 15 games, was how often they weren't able to avoid third down. Warren Sharp laid this out. Third down, best teams at avoiding third down last season. I don't know if you've seen the list. Bink has, I know, but could you care to guess who the top five teams were at avoiding third downs, Drew? Have you seen the full list?
I have not seen the full list.
Can you guess who do you think are some of the top teams in avoiding third downs last season?
Chiefs are no. They won the best third down conversion rate. So
they were all
no.
playoff teams.
Yeah, Chiefs are a no. I would say Ravens.
They were number one at avoiding third downs last year.
Lions.
Oh, excuse me, 1-1.
The Lions were number two.
Commanders?
Nope.
Okay.
They were 12th.
Eagles?
Nope. They were 16th.
That's the strange one because how good they are picking up first downs.
I know. You would think they didn't avoid it. They got the third and fourth down and then the tush push.
People avoided this.
Bills were eighth. The top five were Ravens, Lions, Cardinals, Vikings, and Packers in avoiding third down. Yeah. The Chiefs were one spot below the Eagles at avoiding third. The Chiefs were 17th.
The Super Bowl teams were 16 and 17 in the NFL. That just shows you, man, to try to avoid third downs. And that behooved the Chiefs to try to avoid that, you know, getting to a point where you can avoid it, because one thing we've seen for sure is how they're not good on third down. They're not good on fourth down.
Short yardage situations.
Rashard Davis, you know, throwing the ball to the backfield, the running backs. I think that stuff does get better, but it is concerning when you can't pick up the third and one or fourth and one. So you know what you do? You just get it on second down and just avoid it altogether.
Short yardage is what they were bad on, but the Chiefs were the best team in the league last year in third down conversion.
Third down. Yeah. So again, this stat is
unless there's 1 yard to go.
Teams to avoid third down. When they got the third down, they were great. That's the creativity.
They were very good at avoiding third down every down.
The creativity, the play calling and play design from Andy Reid, they got themselves some free yards based off strictly a scheme and out scheming their opponent. But yeah, and avoiding the third down, as in basically it goes back to the original, I think, a concern that everybody had post Super Bowl, which is talking about the offense and, you know, where's the explosive plays? Where's the bigger, you know, these long sustained drives? If you have long sustained drives, as great as that might be at certain points in the game, if that's all you're doing, you're not going to avoid third downs. You're not marching down the field, obviously, and avoiding third downs consistently. How do you get towards where the Ravens, look at the Lions. The Lions at number two are the least surprising team on this list. They were big play, explosive offense nonstop. They had a lot of fourth down conversions, and they went for them. But avoiding third downs, of course the Lions were number two. They had, whether it was Jahmyr Gibbs breaking off a big play because an explosive back could do that, whether it was obviously getting Jameson Williams or Amon-Ra St. Brown down the field, it makes sense. You can all picture, right, those big plays that you would watch from the Detroit Lions last year. How many times do we see that from the Chiefs? Not a whole lot. That's why they were on a lot of third downs.
Yeah, and again, good on third down, conversion-wise, yes, but third and three, third and five, better for the Chiefs than third and one. Much better. That third and one, that one-yard situation with third or fourth, that was the dangerous thing, and that's really the part that they have to, you know, forget about. But the Chiefs are very good at moving the chains. They're great at that stuff, but, you know, the explosive plays, you didn't see them as much last year as you'd like to see in the past. But avoiding third down, yeah, you want to see the Chiefs get way up there because that has not been, again, third and five, they're much better than third and one, but you don't want to see a third and one situation or fourth and one. And they should be able to with this line. You know, you have some road graders up there and Humphrey and Trey Smith and hopefully Kingsley at left guard. You had that with Tooney, but he's gone now, of course. So you would hope that that should be a recipe that works on third and one and third and short. But if this is something they wanted to do, avoid third downs, you'd like to see him higher up than 17th, clearly.
Yeah, we're just talking about the offense because, of course, the response would be, who cares if the Ravens were number one? What did that get them? I totally understand.
Move the chains.
You know, doesn't mean you can't get to a Super Bowl or win one. Clearly, the Eagles were 16th and the Chiefs were 17th. And as you said, they were both in the Super Bowl last year.
Five of the top six at this list were in the playoffs.
We're in the playoffs. And if you're asking, how do you get better? How did the Chiefs get back to being a top 10? more importantly, a top five offense in football, part of that would fit in. If you told me somehow they got back to being top five in offense this upcoming season, I bet you they're in the top five in this particular stat, avoiding third downs, because that to me tells you you're having the explosives. You're having first down play, second down, picking up a big chunky yard. Maybe it's a touchdown.
Not becoming big predictable. Plays.
Yeah. First down play, you're picking up 8 yards on first down, and second down, you're getting you're having bigger chunk yardage plays.
Where did you say the Bills were on this list?
Eighth.
So all of the teams that made their respective conference title games were eighth or worse. Because I think you said the Bills were eighth, the Commanders were 12th.
Yep.
So I think
In the Super Bowl, 16 and 17.
Like what you said, Gold, I think some people, you might say, well, it doesn't matter because the Ravens, but I think also it shows you, it's more about, I think, the other four teams, particularly the Chiefs and the Eagles, than it is anybody else, where when they had to execute, they were, like, they didn't avoid third down, but on third downs, on fourth downs for the tush-push conversation regarding the Eagles, they were just flat out better than everybody else. And that's the reason why I think they made it to where they did, where they didn't, it didn't matter that they had to convert. Like, if you put the Ravens at a third and 10, I feel a lot less confident they're converting it compared to the Chiefs because of what we saw all
for
year
sure.
last year.
I wonder, and we could probably look it up, Bink. I don't know. You might actually already know the number. I'm not sure. But how many times on first down did they run? And we know they struggled to run the football last year. So if you're running on first down and you're picking up 2 yards at second and eight, well, then, yeah, you're setting yourself
being stopped
up
for no gain.
Sure.
And I'll say you're second and 10.
You're setting yourself up for third down after third down.
There's
after
a lot of negative
down.
Plays on first down for this team. They try to kind of force and set the tempo for the running game.
They were so, and I know that we talked about Andy and his lack of aggressiveness.
Well,
Pacheco
hurt.
I think Andy, for whatever reason, I don't know if this actually is true or not, but I would guess Andy was so confident because they were so good on third down. If they could get it to third and six or third and five, fine. We're the best team in the league. We convert over 50% of our third downs. We're going to be able to get it done if we get it to third and five or third and six. Just stay out of the third and eight plus, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, that's all Mahomes and Reed. That third down success rate is that's all play design, just out scheming your opponent. And then, of course, Mahomes making some special plays. By the way, I found the number just for anybody who was interested. In last season, the Chiefs ran the ball, this is according to Pro Football Reference, 23.6% of the time on first down. 229 rushing attempts on first down is what they...
Yeah, they like to do it to set up Mahomes in second and short, things like that situation. It didn't always work out, though. Getting stopped at the line, negative plays. I do like what they want to do with the running backs, though. I do think that will be a big... Davis on a wheel route or something like that. It is perfect. I think the Chiefs have the guys now to catch the ball. I know they've been working with Pacheco a lot on it. Catching the ball out of the backfield, something they really put an emphasis... You know Kareem Hunt can. I mean, there's a reason.
Sure.
He came back for the Samaje Perine role, in my opinion. Because they didn't bring Perine back.
I hope that's what the role is, and it's not more than that.
I feel that is his role.
I hope that's what it is, yeah.
I know.
I hope that's what it is, and it's not taking away potential. You know, because I think if Isaiah Pacheco is truly healthy, and I'm still not convinced when he came back last year he was. No. Full offseason, relax a little bit.
You wouldn't trust him.
I think Pacheco can be back to being that guy. Now, there's limitations, right? He's not been a 1,000-yard back. I'm not saying he's going to go and out of nowhere be a 1,300-yard back for this team. No. But if he's even just that 950 to 1,000-yard range again, that's a huge boost from what they had last year. Because while Kareem Hunt ended up being a great signing, and thank goodness they signed him in season and everything, when Pacheco came back, he just wasn't the same guy. You could tell. Kareem Hunt was the better back at that point in time for this team. But I don't think that's the case if Pacheco's 100% healthy. And
no,
I
agree with you. But the play calling dictated everything. You saw it was down the stretch. You go back to like that Cleveland game, right? You use Pacheco. Then all of a sudden, you get in the crunch time in the end of the second quarter, going to the halftime, it'd be Kareem Hunt. Mm-hmm. In the second half, it'd be elevated to Kareem Hunt being the guy in crucial situations instead of Pacheco. That's the part that really that injury, you know he's there because he wasn't 100% when he came back from that because it was Kareem Hunt taking that job.
Earlier today, the Chiefs announced the training camp schedule for fans up in St. Joe and everything like that. And we'll be up in St. Joe throughout training camp doing shows up there. Just a couple of the dates for some of those fans that are obviously wanting to make their way up there. The season ticket member day, remember that one's not open to the general public. That's Tuesday, July 22nd. And then Wednesday, the 23rd, would be the first general public day for you guys to head up there to St. Joe. And you can, I think the Chiefs site has all the details on who's signing autographs, what day and all that kind of stuff. Some of the other, just the significant dates for fans. So as I said, Wednesday, the 23rd, the 28th of July is Alumni Day. August 2nd is the Saturday Family Fun Day. And then August 13th is the Military Appreciation Day that they do each and every year up there.
To be honest with you, I would stay away from the first three because it's going to be in shorts.
Yeah, not a whole lot going on early. And then this Wednesday morning, is when you can go on there and buy or, I guess, reserve whatever the tickets for training camp as well. And thinking of training camp, I've already got a sense of the name, but I want to ask you, get it out there because every fan, we're going to get text about this. Once day one happens, there will be a highlight of an amazing catch or a crazy tackle or a great INT or whatever, or a great run from Breshad Smith, whoever. Who are you guessing, predicting will be the camp darling? Doesn't mean they're making the team, by the way. Camp darling. We all know the names over the years.
Who's the Catapano?
I mean, I would just LRZ, Justin Ross, Jody Force. Who's the camp darling of 2025? Do you have a prediction? Because I think there's two right away that come to mind. The first one, it's very evident, and we've already addressed it on the show. Tyquan Thornton. Tyquan Thornton will be camp darling for a lot of people. We'll hear
time out.
I like Tyquan. I like the way he's approached things.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's got the quarterback's trust, which is that's a positive thing.
How long is this cut? I thought it was just a quick mention.
They're 15 seconds, but he goes on.
As long as 15 seconds.
But listen.
So far, so good. Again, I'd like to see him in a game situation, how he handles it. I would anticipate he would do a nice job.
So not only Mahomes talk about him, but Andy Reid talked about him. So I'm with you on that.
He's gonna end up being a camp darling.
He already
is. All for the chance that he's the number sixth or fifth receiver on this team. But he'll be a name because he's going to make some great catches, I'm sure. Good for him. But he's obviously not a lock to make the team. And then the other one is one of these random tight ends, right? Brining Stool or the unbelievable name.
Brining Stool?
Brining Stool. Or the name, all name team candidate. Was it Jerquarius Spivey? That guy. I mean, just because of the name. He was signed. He actually has a contract with the team, I think, for camp, doesn't he? So those are my two guesses, or three, I guess I gave you. But the top two are really my picks.
Well, I'm with you on one. And we're not counting like Jalen Royals and stuff like that, because I think a lot of people will be talking about him being a draft pick and everything. But yes, Tyquan is my dude too. I talked to Drew about that Friday.
He's going to be the talk of camp.
Andy Reid, not only that, keep this in mind too. He's got that one element the Chiefs are known for, the speed, right?
Sure.
He runs a 4.29 at the combine. But
speed shows at training camp better than anything else.
But
sometimes
there's something better. Did you know he actually broke John Ross's record of 4.21? Or 4.22 is the record. He got a 4.21, which would have tied Xavier Worthy at the combine, but then they went and reviewed film and everything else during the combine. So it was thought of when he first did it that he beat John Ross's record. That was the unofficial time, but it was still time there at the combine. But then they came back later and said, no, that was actually a 4.29, which, you know, as well as I do, that's the blink of an eye, faster difference between 4.21 and 4.29.
There's another wide receiver that's getting...
Elijah Badger would be my second one. That'd be the number
Elijah
two.
Badger?
Everybody's talking about Elijah Badger. Okay. He honestly can make it as a seventh receiver if they keep seven.
See, that's my whole thing. Look, and this is why the camp darling stuff is fun. That's why we joke about it. But any of these guys, if they make the team, that's a hell of an accomplishment. And if they do, they're gonna be active for like four Sundays.
We should give it the Justin Sundays. Ross award.
Well, that
should be the
I was
Justin
waiting
Ross
for
award.
That text here from the 816. This is Justin Ross's year. It's been his year for the last what 3 years? How long is
it's
he?
It's the Justin that's Ross right. award for that's camp
right.
guy.
That's right. Yeah.
He needs to worry about making the roster first.
Exactly.
For this year.
But there's no doubt. It's easy. If you're a wide receiver and you've got speed, there's going to be a play you make, and especially when there's not even pads on at training camp.
You better be able to return the ball.
Sure. Yeah. That's an opportunity for him as well. But yeah, I just know that we'll be up there, and it'll be maybe day two of camp, and there'll be some... One of these names
it's gonna be Badger,
makes a
it's
great catch
Tyquan.
Or something, and everybody's going to go nuts and suddenly act like he's a 700-yard receiver and going to score 10 touchdowns for the team this year.
Just how many receivers make it, six or seven? What do you think, seven?
Well, it depends on what are they going to do with this backfield, man. Like, these are all training camp conversations, but Pacheco, Hunt, Elijah Mitchell, Breshad Smith. You know Smith and Pacheco are locks. I think Kareem Hunt probably is too. Elijah Mitchell, you know what I mean? Like,
he'll
I don't
know.
He'll
be fighting to get on the roster.
You know? Just how many running backs do they keep?
He's got
Carson
speed, though,
Steele.
Like
how many? I know there's practice squad spots. I understand that, but how many running backs do they keep will tell me whether or not I can answer six or seven.
Well, they want
receivers.
A pure unidentifiable or identifiable fullback. And say Carson Steele, we know we hit your halfback stuff.
He's
too.
Listed as fullback. On
I understand
there.
It, but if they say because Andy Reid's gone without that position before, so if they say no, we're keeping the fullback, great chance there for Carson Steele, but that would eliminate someone on the back end like Elijah Moore. Bouchard's making it. Hunt's making it. And obviously, Isaiah Pacheco's making it.
How many teams actually have fullbacks now? Because they just use like a lot of teams. A lot of teams just use tight ends as
Chiefs for like one of the only teams for a bit. Payton uses one in Denver, I think.
So what's your receivers are you saying right now? You obviously have Worthy, and you got Hollywood Brown, mm-hmm. Rashee Rice. That's three. And I assume Jalen Royals will go ahead and throw him in.
Yep. Juju,
four.
Probably.
So then there's three more there. So who's your other three? Juju?
Yep.
And then it comes down to Ross, Tyquan Thornton, or Elijah Badger. I think it will be one of those guys.
For sure.
Yeah, so two of those guys. I agree with you. Worthy, Brown, Rice, Schuster, Royals. So that's five.
Remigio.
And then Remigio.
Maybe.
Big special teams, I think he's too valuable.
I don't think that Nico's a lock, though. Especially he's not a lock. Xavier in a return game and stuff like that. I don't think it's a lock.
I don't think it's a lock. I would write this second before camp starts. I would guess that Remigio's on the roster. But if Worthy ends up being somebody that they can have back there as a punt returner more, then that takes away his importance. And then, you know, Tyquan Thornton, if he does well, then that's a different conversation. Sky Moore, I think at this point, we all kind of agree. Like, we'll all be shocked if he makes the team. Barring injuries or things like that to others. That's the other thing to keep in mind. We're mentioning all this.
Thornton, and Badger in that group to kind of...
If they know someone's getting caught at the end of camp, when cuts are happening, post-camp and everything, if they know that Worthy's cell healthy at that point in time, Rice is not getting suspended, let's say, and Brown has made it out of preseason healthy, and they go into the season with all three available week one, then that means it's more likely, in my opinion, that Worthy is returning punts. You would agree with that? Like, I think,
completely.
You know, if you told me that Rice was going to be suspended for four games and they knew that, then I don't think Worthy is returning punts. So that's going to play into what they do with Remigio and Tyquan Thornton, or, you know, whoever on the back end there of the wide receiver.
And there will
chart.
Be more kicks returned with the new rules and everything
else. That's what they
else.
Say. That's what they
put
say. I think so.
35 instead of the 30. You will see more returns. Even though they were up last year, it was elevated, but you'll see even more now that instead of putting it at 35, or putting it at 30, now 35.
Someone says, Justin Ross over Moore, it is solved. Yeah, but the same thing would be, like, you only have one. We're saying you only have really one spot.
Justin Ross is still not getting a run this year, is he?
We just rattled off the whole roster, and we left Ross and Moore off the roster, and Badger. All three of them.
That could easily happen.
I didn't leave Badger
That could easily happen, though.
Very easily.
Wait, hold on. So if you don't have Badger,
then
who's off?
Sky Moore.
Hold on. No, Sky Moore wasn't on already.
I had Nico and Sky Moore off.
Okay, so you have Worthy, Brown, Rice, Royals, Schuster, that's five, Badger, six.
That's right.
And then Thornton?
And then who's?
Tyquan.
So seven wide receivers, and it's Badger and Thornton on the back end. Remigio's on the practice squad if he doesn't get picked up by somebody. Justin Ross, practice squad. Okay.
Elijah Badger, I mean, laugh all you want.
You just like his name.
That dude can play.
This is camp guy talk. Justin Ross is a great player, but he's not going to play.
Badger is going to be a preseason guy that's playing in the third
quarter. I'm just saying he's going to be there and talked about, and you're going to see the clips on X.
The thing that separates Nico Remigio over all the other guys is his ability on special teams to return punts, return kicks, and he was pretty good at it last year. He has the leg up on all of those other guys.
I agree, but his value as a returner goes down if the Chiefs know Rice is not getting suspended. It means Worthy can be the returner more. Not every time, but he could potentially be a returner more.
And then it's a special teams conversation.
Yeah.
One thing we saw with Tyreek Hill.
We're going a little down.
One thing we saw with Tyreek Hill, though, once they started implementing more in packages in the offense, that started to shrink. He was a very good returner, but it started to shrink.
Up next, guys, we'll get to what's trending, and we'll talk more about the Royals at 4-2 road trip and what they did not accomplish in the last week, plus what Tom Brady, I guess, told the Raiders not to do. That's next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.